Sound. Yes, thanks for that indication. Praise God. Well, before we start and we open up God's Word, let's commit our time into His hands. And I trust that we've come believing, looking to the Lord tonight. And God looks for a heart that is open to be touched, to be changed. That is what He's looking for. Because we believe. We please Him by our faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that has sealed and cleansed us and made us right before you. Not only that, but we have a standing, Father, each one of us unique in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we thank you tonight for this room. And I pray all the saints who come into the room tonight will be blessed. Father, we thank you for the blood of the Lamb over this meeting and over the Word. And we thank you, Father, for the signs following of healing, deliverance, salvation. In Jesus' name we ask. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, I want to continue as I felt impressed from the Lord on our teaching that we started on Sunday, and I felt that there was more to this as I've been waiting before the Lord today. And for those of you who remember, we are calling this teaching, Lord God, You Know. Lord God, You Know. And just to recap a bit what we were looking at, we were basing this from Ezekiel. Ezekiel's chapter 37, the dry bones that start to live. Wonderful chapter this is, and this is what God is doing in these last days. But we were really honing in on verse 3, of which, to remind ourselves, it says, "And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, You know." And of course, that is all you can say when you see just dry old bones laying on the ground. It is over to God at that point. And everything that we are facing in this life, our walk of faith, everything is over to God. Because it looks dry, barren, hopeless. Everything that we face each day in the natural is completely against us, but thank God that we walk by faith and not by sight. And we were looking how that God is able to work with these old dry bones, and He's able to turn us into saints who are made right with God redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That is the wonder and the glory of the gospel and salvation. That what's impossible with man is possible with God. Hallelujah. And we were looking, weren't we, how God works with us and how he works with our whole entire being, not just part of us, but the whole man, body, soul, spirit, in that sense, conforming us, bringing us into his image. We were looking along those lines, and then we then turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 and verses 13 through to 20, of which I want to read this out, because here is where God was calling Israel, the nation of Israel, to come clean before him. To be honest, he was showing that Israel was living a lie, a double life, in other words. And the challenge is also on us today. The Christian church, the overcomers, those who want to go on with God. God doesn't want us living and walking a lie. And he will work with us if we come before him and agree before him. But let's take this up from verse 13. Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and the Sabbaths and the calling of the assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity, and the sacred meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cleanse to do evil, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, and shall eat the good of the land, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So God was revealing there to Israel, if they come clean before him, confess, and get their lives right, meaning a right standing before God, then God says that he will bless the land, and they will not be devoured by the sword. We can also interpret that as the sword of God's word, the sword of the Spirit. So we then looked at areas, didn't we? And we looked particularly in the areas of finances, because this is one of the big things, the big problem that is found so much in churches. And God is wanting to deal with this. He's wanting saints to face these problems in the area of finances. Because God has promised over and over again, if you put him first, the kingdom of God first, all these things shall be added to you. And if these things are not being added to us, then it is a clear sign things are not right. You've got to come and get clean and right before God. And of course he will reveal, it can be many things that of course can hinder. But we were looking at those areas, and we were seeing how pride deceives us, how pride is such a big problem, and it's like a wild animal that has to be tamed. It has to be brought under obedience. And as we present ourselves, we come humbly before God and bow our knees in his presence, which the scriptures show us, then God will begin to bring this into conformity. Otherwise, pride will always have its own way, and it will deceive the believer. You actually believe you are doing God's will, you are pleasing God, but in actual fact you're not. And it has to take that pride to be removed for our eyes to be open. And this is why it is so important that we obey the principles of what he's revealing here in Isaiah chapter 1. But of course we'll look at more of that and so on. But I want to take this up because God is dealing with pride, because pride stops us agreeing with God. We actually think we are agreeing with God, but we're blinded to it. Pride blinds us from the revelation of God and his revealed word. If we don't deal with pride, that is the bowing of our knees in his presence, then we simply read the mere letter of the word. And Satan tries to afflict God's people with pride, and he does it simply because it's his problem. Pride cast him out of the heavens, out of the presence of God, because he thought he could be God. If we want to know what pride is, Satan is the epitome of pride. And he wants to oppress and hold the world in his problem. And he wants to hold believers in his problem as well. And the reason that pride is so serious, because, as I said, you can read the word and you can believe in your pride that you understand what God is saying to you, but you're simply reading the mere letter of the word. And if people don't deal with pride, one of the symptoms that comes with pride, and the scribes and the Pharisees indeed had this, is you take on a religious demon. There's a religiousness that comes out of one. And remember that God is not religious. Satan is. Religion doesn't save anyone. Religion, sadly, is what causes wars. So we find that what religion does, the enemy tries to condemn the true believers who are walking humbly before God. And I'm sure that we've all said it, had it said to us, well, you're a Christian, you know, all this religion, it causes nothing but wars. But thank God that that is not what God has given us. God has not saved us to be religious. But proud people don't really understand that one, and that is the problem. So that is why God deals with it in the manner that he does. And you see, what this is all about here in Isaiah chapter 1 is God is saying to Israel, come, humble yourself before me, come and stop living this lie, this double life, because what he's saying is by applying this, you will experience me, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the ultimate of our Christian walk in this life is that we might know Jesus. But when you go through these trials and these tests, and we go through them for a reason, it's so that we can experience a living and real God. This is why relationship is so paramount to the first fruits, the overcomers. Is paramount to the bride that's making herself ready. She's making herself ready because she's being touched, and she is touching the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Her Christianity, her confession is real. It is alive. That is why when the word of God is preached by the anointing, it is a live word. Because God has given the Holy Spirit in which he is speaking to us. Yes, he uses vessels, of course. But this is how he makes it alive, real, you see. And we have to remember this. And of course, Isaiah prophesying this here was really coming against Israel's religion. Their sacrifices, how they were trying to sacrifice for God. as I said last week, it's much easier to be busy for God than actually to believe Him. And many, many of our churches are full of people who are busy, 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 and sadly, they are the less spiritual. It takes a greater faith to believe God in the midst of disaster and to take your hands off everything and just trust God totally, completely. That is what sorts out the men from the boys. And that is what God is doing with us. And this is what He was trying to say here. You bring in all your sacrifices, you believe in all your Sabbaths and all your new moons and your festivals and all the rituals, of course, they went to. He said, I'm tired of them. They weary me because they're not sincere. They're not real. You're just giving me lip service. You're living a lie. And sadly, so much of the Christian church lives a lie. It's afraid to really humble itself before God, to allow the blood of Jesus to cleanse God's people of sin and unbelief and so on. And yet, praise God in His mercy and grace, the Spirit of God is still wooing, still calling us to bow that knee and to deal with that pride. And to humble ourselves in His presence so that He can raise us up in His strength and power and might. And this is exactly what He's doing with the assembly. He's doing with each one of us. This is why He allows these exposures. These exposures are telling us something. It's not rocket science, brothers and sisters. If we want to know spiritually where we are and we stand with God, you just listen to what comes out of your mouth. And you'll soon find that much at times what comes out does not line up with God's word. So that is telling us something. It is a sign. It is a symptom. And if we hear this, or we say things badly, or we confess real unbelief, we can take this back. And we have the ability and the power to take this back because we are meeting the principles of what it's speaking about in Isaiah chapter 1. God was calling Israel to be real before Him. He was trying to show them the deeper principles of relationship with Almighty God. And we all desire that relationship with God. We're crying out for God's love, His touch, to go deeper with Him. That's because we're made and created in His image for that. And yet it's the sin, the pride, the unbelief that hinders us from those deeper inner touches that I see many believers are desperately crying out for. And many, many, many times we're blaming the devil, and yes, he has a place there, but very often our worst enemy is ourselves. And this is where the cross comes in. We can take up our own cross and follow Christ. The cross is there for us to deal with that self life, that selfish life that always wants to put self first and God second. So God's helping us through the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be able to overcome these obstacles and these trials. This is why our faith is a real faith, as we know and when we read in Hebrews 11:1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. These promises that are in God's word are absolutely real. And God wants to fulfill these promises, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, into our everyday life. He wants to heal us. He wants to deliver us. He wants to get us out of debt. He wants to deliver us from our enemies and these things. Of course, it's always in God's timing. We know that. But that is the heart of the Father. As He says in John, as yet you've asked me nothing yet in my name. Ask that my name may be glorified, that my Father may be glorified in heaven. That is a lot of our problem. We're asking, but we don't really always desire within our hearts that God will be glorified. You see, these things have to be revealed to us. The Word of God is a revelation, and our minds need to be illumined in which to receive that revelation. And God was trying to call Israel to bow that knee in His presence, to come and let us agree, let us work this out. If pride is not dealt with, the walk for a season is like hit and miss. You may experience God one day, and then a week you don't really experience Him. And that is how your life is. And you're gradually going further and further away until the blood of Jesus can no longer cleanse. You see, what we're appealing to today in this teaching is ultimately that in this walk we are constantly cleansed, covered by the blood of the Lamb, because it's that which gives us that right standing before God. It enables God to communicate, to speak to us, and to deal with unbelief, sin that sadly can still be there. This is why we make so much of this, and this is why we're spending so much time with this teaching and dealing, of course, with the area of pride, which of course can be so blinding to the believer. So we're not to make this mistake that Israel made. You see, God doesn't want us living a lie. We lie if we don't forgive our brother or sister. If we just love those that we want to love and those we don't want to love, we are living a lie at that point. We're called to love unconditionally. And even if it's our enemy, we're still to love. And yet many, many Christians are deceiving themselves in that area, because they hold deep resentment and unforgiveness. And only in a trial do you begin then to hear what is really there in the heart that comes out. And God, sadly, has to repel one. He has to push one away who refuses to bow and repent. Sometimes we have to be honest. And this is what he means by coming together, let us reason. What he's actually wanting to hear from the believer is, Lord, I don't want to forgive that person. It's not in my heart. I just don't seem to have the affection. However, it's not what I want. I need your help. I need you to work in my heart, enlarge my heart, so that I can love that person and embrace that person in the love of Jesus. And only you can change my heart in that. This is why we're calling this teaching, Lord God, You Know. Because those old bones, it looks hopeless in the natural. There are many things that God still wants to reveal to us that actually looks hopeless. And we're still looking to those dry, dead bones, instead of looking to the risen Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. But as we stay with it, God will work this. God has a way of working godly affections within our heart, if we'll let Him. That is the question, if we'll let Him. But sadly, a lot of us don't let Him because we're too busy. We're too busy doing our own thing. We fight against God separating us unto Himself. We still want the world. We want to live like the world and act like the world. And yet God separates us to Himself in order so that He can work within our hearts and change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. Your heart cannot be changed all the while you're still lusting after the world and want to live like the world. I mean, sorry, but that's not rocket science. And yet many of us so deceive ourselves in that area. And our real problem is we just don't want to be separated unto God. It's too big a sacrifice. And so we make all these excuses and so forth. So you see, these are the problems. And this is why saying, come now and let us reason together. No, you can't separate yourself, but I'll separate you if that is what you want. If you can be honest with me and stop living this lie. You see, we are completely hopeless, just like those dead old bones. Only God can breathe life into them. And only God can breathe life, into your weaknesses. But we have to be honest about our weaknesses. We have to be real, sincere, and open, and stop living a lie. You see, God isn't going to beat you over the head if you're having problems and you can't overcome. He wants to talk it out with you. That's what it's all about. That is what relationship is about. That is what you do in relationships. That is what husband and wives are to do, is to talk it out, to be honest, open. And yet we're not. And the reason we're not is because pride won't let us be open and honest. We sooner believe the lie of pride than to bow that knee and to admit and be honest. And this is what God was trying to get with Israel. He was trying to get her to be honest before him. But she thought her honesty lied in sacrifices, offering up things and so on. And how much of that do we see today amongst Christendom? How much do we see, particularly in the area of worship? So much of that today is nothing more than simply entertainment. And they believe that a Christian just goes along and lifts hands before God and sings songs before him. Look what I'm doing. Look how I'm sacrificing to God. That's why God isn't in most of it. Because a lot of what you see today is simply entertainment. True worship is a broken and a contrite heart. True worship to God is bowed knees. True worship is being real and honest before God. That's where it starts, and we've got it all round the wrong way. We think that entertaining the people in this so-called worship, a lot of it we see today, they think that is their sacrifice. I'm sacrificing to God. No, it's not. This is exactly what Israel was doing. God wants us to come before him with clean hands and a pure heart into his presence. This meeting tonight is about us coming before God with clean hands and a pure heart into his presence. This is where he's glorified. But we know that these things don't lie within us. We need his help. We need his touch. He has to put these things within our hearts, else we're not going to do it. We don't like God's ways in our flesh. The proud think they do, because that's what pride does. Pride brings religion, but God isn't in religion. God is in those who have a contrite heart, a heart that has been changed from stone to flesh. That is what he's looking for, and that is what he's wanting. And the humble will hear that. The wise virgins will hear that. The overcomers will hear that. Sadly, we have to accept the fact some hear and some don't. Maybe it might be a good question to ask God, Lord, am I really hearing? Am I hearing you? Do I hear your word? I don't want to believe a lie. I want to believe you. I want to hear the truth. I want that revelation in my life. You know, if you mean business with God like that, I'll tell you, God will never turn you away. God will say, that's what I want from you. That's what I want to hear. You're now beginning to mean business with me. And this is what he was trying to do with Israel. But they would not have it. Why? Because they were stiff-necked. And what is a stiff-necked person? Somebody who's proud. Arrogant. I know it all. And this is what he's trying to get rid of. This is why God is getting us to seek his kingdom and his kingdom only. And if you do this, he's promised then that all your needs will be met. And he makes us responsible. You see, what God is looking for in the body of Christ is saints who will mature and grow up and become responsible in the house of God. This is what he's looking for. He wants us responsible so that you, each one of us, can meet the body's needs. And there are great needs in the body of Christ. They're all around us. And he wants each of us, as we seek that kingdom, so that you may be a blessing, you may just be able to be used to meet that need for that brother or sister in the Lord. Surely, is that not the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ? That you come to minister, you come to serve, and not to be served? That's the nature and heart that God is wanting to put into the believer. But we have so many in Christendom, all they want to do is take, take, take. And that's not what the body of Christ is about. And they wonder why they don't have ministries. They wonder why they're not being used by God. God wants to use every one of us, for we're all filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit, if indeed you are. So God wants to use you, but the only way you can ever be used is that you become a servant, a slave, to serve. And God will open your eyes and show you where you can be used to glorify the Lord's name. That's why Jesus said, when you saw me in prison, did you visit me? When I was naked, did you clothe me? When you saw me hungry, did you feed me? They're the words that should be echoing in the life of the believer. Because whatever you do, you are ultimately doing it unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes our faith a living faith. There are some who do not have a living faith because they're not meeting with the living, risen Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the problem. And this is what God was trying to do with Israel. Come, let us reason together. Let's talk this out. You need the blood of Jesus to atone for you, because it isn't at the moment. It's very serious, this, brothers and sisters. And we begin to then to find that as we come ready to minister and to be used, then we shall see these needs being met, physical needs. We'll start to see healings flowing. We'll start to see blessings flowing. You know, what a thought it could be that what God wants maybe to do through you, but you're not willing to do it because you're not willing to bow the knee, you're not willing to serve. It could just be that you are stopping someone, your brother, your sister, from being blessed or touched by the Lord simply because of your pride. What an awful thought that is, and yet that is true. That is what we can do in the house of God. No one who loves Jesus would want that. Lord, here am I, use me. That's what God always wants. That's a healthy heart before God, so that you can be used to bless, to touch, to help somebody in the body of Christ. This is why at times needs are not met. This is why some people maybe are suffering unnecessarily, because you're not willing to obey, to yield to the Holy Spirit. We're not to put a yoke on believers. That is not how God works. This is why I say when we come to the meeting, it's important that we come prayed up, that we have sought the Lord first, so that when we come into our meetings, here am I, Lord, I'm available, use me for your glory. And God will. He'll open your eyes to the needs that are around you. And believe me, they are. You don't ever have to go looking for needs. If you're open to God, he'll bring it to you. And this is how Jesus walked in his ministry for 3 years. As he sought God and he prayed and interceded like he did, he didn't have to go looking for it. It was brought to him by the Holy Spirit, whether for healing, whether to heal the 5,000, whether to call the disciples, or to go into houses, or whatever it was, the Holy Spirit was bringing it to him. And that's how you should walk, that's how I should walk. God will bring it to us each day if we're willing and we're open and we want to walk in the Spirit. But still some of us, we're still too selfish. It's still about me, I, myself, how I feel, what I'm going through. What about poor me? This is why we have to deal with the self-life. Because the self-life will always get in the way of the Holy Spirit that wants to move through you. This is why God's constantly saying to us, get out of the way. All he wants from us is simply our faith to believe. He doesn't want our help. Religious, proud people think they can help God. Arrogance of it. None of us can. None of us can do anything for God. It was God who first loved us. We didn't love him. He even had to place that within us, in our hearts. All he wants from us is our faith each day to believe and to see him work with that faith and that belief. And he will. And to get out of the way. That is why the Christian walk is all about we decrease, but he increases. It is empty vessels that he wants. He doesn't want our works. He doesn't want our sacrifices, our good deeds in that sense. Now, of course, the Holy Spirit, faith, produces the works, the fruit of the Spirit. That's the way it comes. But it's not round the other way. It's not you trying to do good works to please God, which sadly so many Christians are in bondage to. This is why I said last week, the most busiest people in churches are the least spiritual, sadly. This whole walk isn't about doing, it's about being before God. What am I before God? That's the question we need to ask tonight. And it's about letting go of those things that we hold on to still. Letting go of fears. Letting go of doubts. We have to let go of the whole lot. Then God can and will take over. But brothers and sisters, we must not be blinded to the knees that are in the body of Christ. We each of us have to be responsible. As you know, I've recently just come back from India, and you know, it was very humbling there, because those people taught me far more than I could ever teach them. But I watch how with nothing God creates things through them. I watched when they gave. Some of them had no money to give for the ministry, but they just gave rice, because that is what they could afford, that is what they could give, but they knew that that would give a meal for someone. In other words, the attitude, the heart was still to give to the Lord. Do we want to give? This is a huge problem in the Western world. Because we're still so covetous. We're still so fearful. And yet, I've watched how these people give of themselves, give of their time, will go that extra mile with a brother or sister, are quite prepared to pray 2, 3, 4 hours for somebody who's sick and intercede. They count it a blessing. They count it a privilege. And yet we look at the state of the church in the West. We don't realize how miserable, wretched, naked we are. We live in the Laodicean age. It's neither cold nor hot. And we know what God says, what he'll do about that. And the only way that this is going to change, and it changes with you and I, it's no good looking to anyone else, it's no good blaming that church or this church. Lord, use me, change me. This is where it starts. If we're to see change, it starts with us. And that is what God was trying to say with the children of Israel. Come now, let us reason together. The change starts with me. All it often takes is just one strike of a match to set a whole place on fire for God. And you could be just that person. That's all it takes. We must never limit what God can and will do through each of us. And as I'm bringing it to a conclusion, we all of us have to face our giants. There are still giants that are opposing and stopping us from entering the promised land. And you'll know what those giants are doing by your confession, whether you're still looking at them and believing what they're saying, or whether you've got that confession like Joshua said, we're well able to go in and take the land. And we are brothers and sisters because Jesus has gone before and prepared the way. Jesus said, it's done, it's finished. He's conquered, he's overcome. So what are you going to look at? Are you still going to look at those giants that still cause you to compromise, to sin, to run away? Or are you going to confess and believe, I'm well able to overcome this because Jesus overcame this at Calvary? But I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, this is only going to come when you agree with God, when you are open with him, and you bring everything out, every small thing, every detail that you are battling, you're overcoming, your doubts, your thoughts, lustful thoughts, sinning of the eye, sinning of the tongue, all these things that we battle with, bring it all out into the open before God. Satan wants to keep you bound by it. He wants to keep it in the dark. And that will always cause you to run away and to hide. If you've sinned, defy it. Run to God and confess. Everything in your body wants to run away and hide when you've sinned at that point. Don't do it. Just run to God. Say, Lord, I've sinned. I've fallen short of the glory of God. I've not glorified your name. I cry out to you. I need that help. Cleanse me. Speak to me. I need to speak to you. I need to touch you at this moment. That's what God is looking for from believers. Too many of God's people are still running away because of sin. And yes, there is sin. It is sin. We're not trying to water it down. But the point is, how do you deal with it? That's the question. That's why he's provided the blood of Jesus. And that's why he says to the overcomers, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and love not our lives unto death. That is how we overcome. This is why I pray for the Christian church, that believers will have a revelation of the blood of Jesus, because that is our overcoming. Without that, we have no hope. And that is what God was trying to say to Israel. That is what he was calling them for. Come, let us agree together. You have to agree with God. Too often we want God agreeing with our weaknesses, our sin, our unbelief. We're trying to get God to agree with us, and you never will. For God is sovereign. You're wasting your time if you're trying to do that. You will see that God will not change one iota, but he'll provide his grace, his love, his mercy, so that we can come to that high stand in Christ Jesus. This is why it's Christ Jesus in you, the hope of glory. That is why you decrease, that he increases. That the life that lives in you, the life of Christ, takes over in you. Takes over in your weaknesses. Takes over in your unbelief. He takes over. That's what our life is about. It's not about you. It's not about me anymore. It's about the life of Christ that lives in me. That's all that matters. That's all I live for. That is all I want. Brothers and sisters, if you want that, I'll tell you, God will move heaven and earth for you to experience that. And you will grow so much closer to God. And your relationship will become real. Your walk will become real. God will start to be able to use you for his glory. Because you're taking none of the glory. Your life glorifies God. Your consecration glorifies God. Your everyday walk glorifies God. No, you cannot do that. Only the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, can do that in and through your life. This is why we preach the deeper life. This is why we show that there is a doorway through the baptism into a deeper walk with God, a deeper consecration, so that it is the life, the power of God living through you, loving through you, believing through you, everything through you. God is walking through you, triumphing through you. That is what the Christian walk is about. You settle for anything less than that, and you will never walk in God's fullness. This is why we're calling this teaching, brothers and sisters, Lord God, you know. This is why God's brought most of us to the end of ourselves tonight, to show us that only Lord God, you know. And all we want is his life to live in and through us. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you that you have come to take over. And all we're to do is to let go, is to yield over to you, and you will work it. You said tonight you will work these affections within our heart. You will cause us to walk in your ways. You will work that consecration into us. You will bring those holy lives in and through us. Because it's all a work of you. That's why you said it's not by might nor by power. It is by my Spirit, says the Lord. And Father, I pray that you will do that through every one of us who has listened to this word tonight. Father, may they overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Give them a revelation more of the blood of Jesus. Give them a revelation of who lives in their lives. And that is Almighty God, the Godhead himself, lives in and through us. Father, what a wonderful salvation we have. What a wonderful gospel this is. Lord, when we see so many abound in religion, trying to get to God, trying to get to God through works. And here it is, God came down to man in his state, in his sin. And he spoke life to those bones. And he said, graves, live again. And Father, we live tonight because your life lives in and through us. Thank you, Father, for this. Thank you.
of Jesus I'll find security, and Jesus is